Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. You're going to have to listen to me for the intro tonight because something's going wrong in the studio. And just in case you don't know, I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do once again is keep an open mind. This way you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. And tonight I'm honored to have back Jim Phillips. He's a gifted speaker, an author, a seminar leader, and a certified life, spiritual, and business coach. For the better part of 30 years, he has been an entrepreneur and business leader, inspiring others to higher levels of achievement through his presentations and seminars throughout the United States and parts of Europe. His true passion, however, is the exploration and application of spiritual law as it applies to prosperity and overall quality of life. One of Jim's gifts is his ability to help others understand and apply complex spiritual concepts to their personal lives. This has led to the development of his life coaching program that stands for, it's an acronym for Living in Full Expression. In addition to coaching and speaking, Jim has written two books, The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression, and From Inspiration to Intention, which just came out a few months ago. Both books speak to the desire within each of us to better understand and experience who we truly are and what we are here to do. Never has there been a time in the history of humanity when there have been more people open and receptive to this message. Jim graduated from James Madison University with a degree in business administration and management, and he currently resides in Aldi, Virginia, where he continues his writing, coaching, and speaking. Now, I'm going to be giving out his website and also his email address now in case you would like that, get a pen handy. So to learn about the availability of his books or to schedule a free life coaching discovery session, contact Jim via email at jim@prosperitybydesign.com. And his website is very similar. It's www.prosperitybydesign.com. So if you didn't get those, all you have to do is look up the information for tonight's show, and it is posted right there, so you will be able to find those if you did not have a chance to copy them down. So with that said, I'd like to welcome Jim. Jim, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being with you again.
Likewise. I enjoyed the show that we had before, and I really am interested in getting a little bit more into spiritual law and how that can improve a person's life. And I'm especially interested, from the description that I just read, about what you consider to be complex spiritual concepts that people would use in their personal lives.
First, let me say that I loved your introduction. I think it's extremely important for people to understand that what I have to say, what someone else has to say, the real intention of the person who is an adventurer, like you said, it's not to get people to believe what we believe. It's to give a perspective so that people
yes.
can come to their own conclusion about life and whatever that is and whatever it means to them. So I think that's really important that you put that out there in the beginning. So I applaud you for that.
Thank you. Well, I totally agree with that. And I've been guilty of not adhering to that in my past, and that's been part of my own journey, is to recognize that we all are unique individuals with our own perspectives, and no two people are necessarily going to see things alike. And it's a matter of the lessons that our souls have been called to learn in this life, so I believe. And it's different for each and every one of us, and yet we are all interacting with each other. And so by virtue of that, there is an interplay and there are some common denominators. And I guess those are some of the things that I'd like to take a look at tonight. But what can you say about complex spiritual concepts?
It's interesting to me because what we consider complex is actually quite simple.
Yes.
And in my first book, The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression, I put a term in there that I created called simplexities. And the whole idea behind that is that life itself is simple. There's really nothing complex about it. Life just is what it is. It's all the things that show up. It's flowers growing without any obstacles in their way, regardless of what's happening. They just grow. And the complex aspect of life comes in through us humans because of our judgment, because of our limiting beliefs that we have, because of actions we take, just all of these things that are just a part of humanity, I guess. So when I think about complex spiritual laws, I use that term because I think when people think about spiritual items or topics, if you will, I think they think it's complex. So I use that to get people's attention. But really, as I said, it's quite simple. So if you look at even the law of cause and effect is a spiritual law, if you will, because for any action, there is a reaction. So if you want to look at it from the law of attraction perspective, well, we look at our thoughts and our beliefs and our emotions behind those thoughts, and that's what creates the experiences that we have. That's what draws that particular vibration of that particular event to us. So it's nothing more than cause and effect, but we don't look at it that way because that seems to be too simple. We look for something that would be maybe more magical or maybe more challenging or maybe more complex, because if we say that it's complex, we don't have to take responsibility for it. We don't have to venture into that area because we know that's too much for me. But if we say that it's simple, well, people can say, well, then I should be able to do it. And it's true. Everybody should be able to do it. In fact, we are doing it. It's just a matter of not acknowledging it as such.
Or doing it maybe not quite as efficiently as we could if we kept it simple.
Right, if we kept it simple and if we did it consciously. There's so much that happens on the...
That requires awareness then. That's the key.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Sorry for the interruption.
You know, that's okay. I did a webinar last night. Actually, I did it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. It was a three-session webinar, and the title of it was The Seven Keys to Life Mastery, and awareness was one of the primary keys. And one of the quotes that I have in that work is that once aware, all else falls in place. Now, you can say that that's a complex spiritual law, if you will, but yet if we think about it, when you become aware of everything that's happening around you, and you become aware of your thoughts and your beliefs, and you become aware of your actions, and you become aware of the resulting effect of your beliefs and your actions and your thoughts, well, then you realize that all of that is true. That we are creating all of these experiences ourselves by the way that we think and feel and act. And if we become aware of it, we can change it if we don't like what's happening.
What can we do to cultivate awareness?
There was a couple of exercises that I give people when I do work around that. And the first thing is really just pay attention. And that sounds so simple. Again, simplicity. It sounds so simple, but it's look around you and see what's going on. It's when there's people around you, pay attention to what they're doing, pay attention to what they're saying, and simultaneously pay attention to your own thoughts. Are you judging people? Are you judging yourself by things you might think or say about somebody else? Are you Are you taking in what anybody is saying? And here's where I use this in business. Up until about 6 weeks ago, I owned a real estate company. I've been in the real estate business for about 37 years. And there's always business. There's always opportunities for real estate agents to find business. So one of the things that I would coach my agents on is awareness. And I would say, if you do nothing else, just start listening to what's happening around you, listening to what people are saying, and you're going to be surprised at how many business opportunities are around you and always have been, but you just haven't been paying attention. And I said, whether you do anything with it or not, that's not the question. Just pay attention. And to a person, they'll come back and they go, I can't believe how many people talk about real estate, or how many people give me the opportunity to introduce myself as a real estate agent where I would have an opportunity for business. And so that's really what it is. It's awareness is being present and being available to whatever is happening around you, and really importantly within you as well, because that's really the driving force behind it, our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts, and our beliefs.
It seems to me that an important key to it is getting out of our heads and connecting more with our hearts and being an observer to what's going on around us. And that judgment piece seems so important to me. If I'm observing what's going on around me, what's going on within me, I'm not as likely to attach a judgment to it. And when I judge, then I am creating a situation where I'm attracting that which I'm judging against to come back at me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. And in fact, just getting back to the webinar that I did, the 7 Keys to Life Mastery, judgment is one of the hardest things for us to let go of, because we're always comparing ourselves against other people, or we're very opinionated. And it's just very easy to look out and see people who, you know, you can use overweight people as an example. And if you see somebody who is overweight based on the standards that society might have today, it's easy to start judging them and say, oh, they must be really lazy, or they must not take care of themselves, or whatever thing we might want to say about them, when in fact it could be a medical condition they have nothing to do with, that there is nothing they can do to control it because of whatever their medical condition is. And it's really us judging ourselves against them by saying, they're heavy, I'm not, therefore I'm better than they are. And that's really about low self-esteem as well, that we have to compare ourselves against somebody else to make ourselves feel good. So the awareness of our judgment is another exercise. It's just paying attention to when you are judging anybody or anything. Life is about allowing it to flow freely and naturally without there being any judgment. And if you think about this, how much freer would we be in life if we didn't feel this need to compare ourselves to other things, but we just always did the best that we possibly could given the circumstances we find ourselves under, without judging it, without criticizing ourselves and thinking, well, I'm a bad person, or I can't do this, or, again, whatever kind of self-condemnation we might want to use. If we didn't judge and we just accepted life and we did the best we could with everything that we have, and we're always looking for other opportunities where we continue to expand our expression and experience of ourselves, our lives would be so much better.
Well, life is just filled with learning experiences, and we tend to quite often judge those things as good or bad when they just are whatever they are. And I liked what you were saying about low self-esteem, because that's something that all of us at our core seem to have an issue with to a greater or lesser extent. And that's where the work comes into play, as I see it. And maybe you can expand on this. When I'm judging somebody else, it's quite often because there's something within me that I don't want to take a look at. For example, I might say, boy, that person is an asshole, or because they're arrogant. And I am the one that's arrogant and making that judgment against them. And who knows what their issue is? They're probably just have low self-esteem themselves.
Yeah. there's an interesting story, and I'm sure millions and millions of people have read this because it was in Stephen Covey's book. The title just totally escaped my mind. What was the name of his book? I can't remember it. Anyway, the story that was in it was he was on a bus and he was going somewhere, and there was a gentleman on the bus that had two small children with him, and children probably 6-7 years old. And the gentleman was just sitting there, and the kids were unruly, and they were bouncing around and yelling and screaming and disturbing everybody that was sitting there. And Dr. Covey says that he was sitting there, and he kept thinking, why didn't this guy control his kids? I can't believe this. Why would anybody let their kids act like this? He's not a good parent. He's just, you know, whatever. It kept going on in his own mind. And then he finally engaged the gentleman in conversation, and the guy said, my wife just died. Their mother. And so Dr. Covey, it's like, oh, my God, now I understand why. And that story illustrates that we don't know what somebody else is in the midst of, or we don't know what they've gone through in the past to be where they are right now, and who are we to judge them? And the flip side of that is that they're always mirroring for us an opportunity for us to grow and expand in the truth of who we are, but also in our acceptance, living life. How do I want to put this? They're giving us the opportunity to live more in truth of who we are without judgment and to be kind and loving towards everyone else. Because, as I said, we don't know what somebody else has gone through, just like nobody knows what I've gone through. My experiences have been my own. I can tell somebody about it, and they can say, I get it. Well, they don't, because they didn't have my exact same experience with my feelings and whatever else I might have gone through to get me to the point that I am right now. It's really about honoring, respecting each other, no matter what, because we've all gone through crap, you know, to put it bluntly.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, having come from a Christian background, I was thinking about some of the admonitions against judgment, to not judge a person unless you've walked a mile in their shoes, for example. And, you know, for that matter, you'd have to walk their entire life up to the present moment where you're encountering them to have an understanding of what's going on within them and why it is, not that it matters to you because it's about their stuff, why it is that they are behaving in a certain manner to you. And it's generally just a trigger of something that you have said or done that's taken them back to an earlier trauma in their life, something that needs to be discharged. How can people develop qualities that will help them stay the course and become less judgmental and more affirming of themselves?
I think innately we already have those qualities. I think it's a matter of utilizing them. I don't think it's something that's new that we develop that we don't already have. I think it's there. I think it's waiting to be expressed. I think that a lot of these situations we find ourselves in, when we see somebody that we might judge, that situation was put there for us to use that muscle, if you will, that muscle of non-judgment. And so the opportunities are always there. Again, we can get back to awareness. Pay attention to that. And then get back to your original question about complex spiritual laws. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm not going to put a name on it, whatever this law might be, but it's that all of these things are showing up for us to give us the opportunity to take care of the things within us that need to be taken care of. It's never about the other person. It's always about us, regardless of what shows up. And when I show up in somebody else's life, I may push their button. Well, that's their opportunity to also work with whatever that is. And maybe I somewhere, somehow agreed with them on a soul level and I was going to show up and be a complete jerk. And here's your opportunity to not become defensive or not become judgmental or to honor and respect me because you don't know what I've gone through to get to this point where I may have become a jerk.
Well, it seems to come back to something that you had underlined earlier, and that is about taking personal responsibility and taking personal responsibility for everything that is yours and letting the rest of it go.
If you think about this for a second, you can't change anything you didn't create. And if you don't take responsibility for it, you're not going to change it. I can't change what you did or what you do or who you are. I can only change those things about myself. And I've got to take responsibility for them before I'm going to be willing to start making those changes. If it's something that I feel that I need to correct or need to work on so that it's a better situation for everybody, including myself, we have to. We have to take responsibility for it. And that's a scary thing for people. Nobody wants to take responsibility for all the difficulties and challenges they've had in their lives. There's too many other things and too many other people we can blame it on. And yet, taking responsibility is going to lessen those situations happening from that point forward.
It frees us up, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It all makes sense. When you talk about keeping it full, I think in terms of common sense, to use common sense, I know when I first got into recovery from addiction almost 30 years ago, one of the expressions that was used in meeting rooms was keep it simple. And there was an acronym that I didn't care for, KISS, keep it simple, mm-hmm. stupid. I've heard a better acronym, and that's keep it simple, sweetheart. And boy, does that make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm interested. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when you were just saying that about your experience and coming out of addiction and going through, I'm assuming, some kind of a program to do that, and it's real easy for people to say, oh, you must be a loser when you're going through that. How can you allow that to happen to you in your life and that sort of thing? And we lose mm-hmm. sight of the fact that anything like that can happen to any of us. Nobody is protected from that. We're all vulnerable to whatever vagaries of life there are. And when we start judging people because of what we perceive them to be or who we perceive them to be, we're inviting that same kind of situation to happen to us.
Absolutely. Well, I've heard it said by a great mystic and spiritual author by the name of Anthony DeMello. He was a Jesuit who grew up in India. He was of Indian descent, and it challenged people to take responsibility for their lives. And one of the things that he said that struck me, and I didn't quite get it at the time, was to be human is to be addicted. And mm-hmm. what I've come to see for myself is that we attach ourselves to outer conditions, people, places, or things to try to make ourselves feel better when we're the only ones that can do that for ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
And see, that's taking responsibility.
Absolutely. And if I'm going to judge a drug addict as being a derelict and somebody that's a loser, I may have something in my closet that I'm not taking a look at, and chances are I do. You know, I'm God only knows what I could be doing, but there are all kinds of compulsive behaviors and addictions, things that people might not even be aware of as addictions. But if you're attaching yourself to an outer condition and thinking that's going to make you feel better, that in essence is an addiction.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree with that. In fact, one of the in my first book, The Key to Life, one of the spiritual ideas that I talk about in one of the chapters is the whole idea of non-attachment. And that, to me, is the way that we are supposed to live life here. We're supposed to be non-attached or unattached to anything that's of the earth. And that's what I believe Jesus meant when he said, I am of this world. I am in this world, but not of this world. It was about non-attachment. And if you think about it, we identify with our labels, our jobs, our spouses, our children, our money, or whatever it is that we might have. We label ourselves as that. And if we can let go of all of that and just recognize that it's only something that we have while we're here, it doesn't identify us. If I have a lot of money and the money goes away, it doesn't change who I am within this physical body. It changes my identity if I've attached to it based on how I think other people are now going to see me or feel about me or call me a loser or whatever the case may be, but it really doesn't change who I am intrinsically. I'm still the soul that inhabits this body. And I would rather go through life understanding and knowing that about who I am than being concerned or worried about how other people are going to look at me and what I might have and, unfortunately, what I might be able to do for them, because I do think a lot of people look at others that way. What's the benefit of that person to me? And so the whole idea of non-attachment is just enjoying and embracing absolutely everything life has to offer. And it doesn't mean you don't have a nice house and a nice car. You enjoy it. You love it. You embrace it. But you also understand it's not going to be there all the time. And if it goes away, it goes away. I'm still who I am.
Well, Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, says that there's nothing more important than to follow consistent moments of joy. And Joseph Campbell, who wrote The Power of the Myth, talked about following your bliss. And, boy, that sure is common sense. I mean, why would we make any other choice?
Because we get
and
caught
yet
up
we
in
do.
The game of, yeah, we get caught up in the game of life, and we feel we're competing against every other person on the planet.
Yeah.
And I had an interesting conversation today with a gentleman who actually participated in my program last night. And he's struggling a little bit with some things that are going on in his life, and he's struggling with his work a little bit. He said, you know, there's Bill Gates and there's Warren Buffett, and he mentioned somebody else that was one of the mega wealthy people in the world. He says, how come they get to have all the money and I don't? And I said, do you realize you just compared yourself to like 1/1,000th of 1% of all the people on the planet that you're measuring yourself? I said, it's possible you could do something and you could be the wealthiest person on the planet, but is it likely, given what your interests and your pursuits are? And it's not likely. So why even go there? Don't compare yourself against these people. And what I was thinking about after that, too, is that maybe with the exception of a couple people, I don't believe Bill Gates was looking to make billions and billions of dollars. He was trying to improve life for people by inventing the personal computer and the software and all that kind of stuff. He's a geek. It wasn't about money. It was about doing what his passion was, just like you were just talking about. It's interesting when we think about it. Those people, a lot of them that really have a lot of money, it wasn't the pursuit of the money. It was the pursuit of something they really loved and enjoyed doing that was a passion for them.
And that comes from within. And I remember the last time that we talked, you were talking about helping people find the core essence or soul, or their soul, if you will, and to get in touch with what is real to that individual or organization, what their value systems are. Can you talk a little bit more about that for people that haven't listened to the previous show? And also, just to let you know, we do have callers on the line, so we will be moving to that in a little while.
Okay. Now, when you the question you were asking, just address how somebody can get in touch with whatever they think their life's purpose might be or their soul's desires?
Well,
was that what the question was?
Let's go that way. Sure. I like that.
Okay. That's one of the primary questions that I get asked in my coaching. How can I find my life's purpose? How can I find my soul's desires? And it's funny because they're asking me to find it for them. And it's like, I can't do that because that's you. Your soul is you. And so we're going to get back to awareness. Those inspirations that we have, those things that come up and they are so strong and you're so passionate about it and you knew that if you could do this, that this would be the most incredible experience you could ever have with life. And the story that I always like to share with people is that we have these inspirations. Typically we'll wake up and we've had them during a sleep because our minds are completely open. Everything is out of the way. There's not all these thoughts and things going through our heads. So we're very receptive to whatever information we might get. So we wake up in the morning, we've got this unbelievable idea of something we want to do or experience. And then we don't question it. We don't doubt it. It's just there, and we're just feeling, and we're basking in that, the light of that inspiration. And then we have a cup of coffee, and we start to eat breakfast, and all of a sudden we start to, well, how am I going to do that? And then we say, well, I can't do that because I have this full-time job, and I've got all these responsibilities, and I don't even have the skills to do this, and I don't have the money, and, you know, if I try this and I fail, what will my family say? Or if I try and fail, I might look really stupid, and what are people going to say? And so by lunchtime, we've talked ourselves out of it. And yet, those inspirations are what our soul is telling us is our life's purpose. And it'll keep coming back. That's why it keeps coming back. We can push it aside and push it aside, but eventually, and this is what happened to me with my books, we can push it aside till eventually it gets to the point where you cannot not do it. The inspiration is so strong that you realize that this is something extremely important that you are here to experience. Now, I will also say that one of the things we have to let go of is the idea that our life's purpose has to be something that is going to be life-changing, world-changing, humanity-changing. It doesn't have to be. It's not about that. And the vast majority of people that live on this planet will not be Martin Luther King or Mahatma Gandhi or any of these other people. They may, but the likelihood is, given the fact there's 7 billion people on the planet, that most of us are not going to be living our lives under that bright light. So we have to recognize that our life's purpose is whatever it is we are truly inspired to do. The idea behind Living in Full Expression, that book, that's what our life's purpose is, to live in full expression of who we truly are. And when I tell people that, they'll say, yeah, but what is that for me? And I say, I can't tell you that. What are you inspired to do? What are you most passionate about? What if you had absolutely all the time in the world you wanted, all the resources in the world that you could possibly have, there was nothing that would prevent you from doing something, what would you do? What would you just be so incredibly thrilled to do? And that's how you start finding it, because whatever starts showing up, and at first somebody may throw out some really silly stuff, like I like to go live on a beach and drink pina coladas all day long. Well, that's just being silly. That's not what your soul is going to tell you to do. But what is it that's really driving you? That is just something that's amazing. And if they can start letting that come out and start expressing it and become really clear on it, then they'll see that there's something there that they can do, and it's going to benefit them. And that's really the main purpose behind our expression. It's to benefit us. It's for us to have that experience of ourselves in full expression. Yet what we do with that is, if I'm living in full expression of who I am, constantly doing the best I can with whatever I'm being inspired to do, the benefit of that is me, because I'm living in full expression. The benefit could be that whatever it is that I'm putting out into the world, the work that I put out in my books could benefit people because of the message. But what I'm doing ultimately is I'm serving as an example to others that when you follow your heart's desires, your soul's desires, your passion, that you are creating opportunities for other people to follow theirs. You're showing them it's okay. Take the risk, if you want to call it a risk. But I personally believe that if you're inspired to do something, that it's intended to be. So there isn't any risk there.
Well, that sounds like a good jumping off point for you to talk about your new book, From Inspiration to Intention.
That was an interesting book to write. It came as a result of meeting a publisher. I was doing a book signing with The Key to Life, and this woman came in, and I was talking to her, and she bought a book, and I signed it for her, and we started talking. She said she was a publisher, which I thought was kind of interesting. And we were talking, and I really liked her, and she said she wanted to keep in touch. In fact, she's from New York, and she called me probably 2 or 3 weeks after I had seen her at the book signing. She had read my book, and she was very, very kind with her words about the book and was praising it, and just said, dude, you have a ton of information in this book. She said, way more than most people would put in a book this size. She said, there's enough information in here for you to be able to pull out of it and write several other books by going into more depth and detail about some of the topics. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking about that, and I was looking through the book, and I realized that one of the main themes for it was really about, well, it was about living in full expression, but it was also about people following their inspirations, like I was just talking about. And so I started playing with it, and I realized that we have these inspirations, but what allows us to take that inspiration and move forward with it? And that's where intention comes in, because once we have the inspiration, we have to set the intention that it's going to be fully expressed. Whatever that inspiration is, I'm going to make it happen. And I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be relentless with the process of this inspiration that I've been given to actually come to be. And I go into detail in the book about how intention isn't just one day you wake up and you say, it is my intention to do such and such. Intention is an ongoing process. You have to maintain it, and that's where the difficulty comes in. The intention has to be maintained through difficult times, through challenging times, through lack of resources, through sickness, through anything else that might happen. The intention has to be strong enough to support the initial inspiration that you've had. And when you do that, that's an extremely valuable experience for anybody, because you're expanding your understanding of who you are and what you're capable of doing when you persist over a long period of time with a strong intention about something you desire to create and bring into the world. And so that's really what the book is about. There's obviously a lot more detail to it, but it's about helping people go through that process and bringing that passion and that inspiration that's in them waiting to be birthed out. I'm not going to say quickly, because it is a process. Sometimes it happens quickly, but for the most part, it's this process you go through, because the process is the experience you're supposed to have as you're bringing this inspiration into your lived experience.
Well, I love the title, and as you were describing intention, it took on a new meaning for me, because now I recognize that it involves follow through and taking responsibility for following through with whatever that intention is. And that also involves discipline, personal integrity, all kinds of different things attached to it, as I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just pulled up a copy of the book because I wanted to. There's a couple of things in here that I think would be interesting for people to hear. One, the word inspiration, or to inspire, it's a word that most of us know the meaning, but I don't think we know it through the context that it's used. But I don't think most of us really understand the full meaning of it. And inspire means to breathe life into. So if you're inspired, to me, it's two different things. When I'm inspired, that means I'm having life breathed into me. And when I have an inspiration about something that I want to bring into the world, I'm breathing life into whatever that is. So to inspire is really about bringing it to life and breathing into it. And I think that's a very powerful thing or idea or concept for us to keep in mind, because that's what it's always about. It's about, you hear the word rebirth all the time, but it's really about that. It's about constantly creating and bringing new things into the world. And at the same time, every time we do that, we're rebirthing ourselves because we're having a new experience. I read something interesting the other day, and this was a kind of a cool way to put this into a context. And it was an exercise. And this book was saying, go sit in a chair. Pay attention as you sit in the chair, as your butt hits the cushion, and as you lean back and feel your back on the chair and feel your legs as it hits the edge of the cushion and then your feet are on the floor. Pay attention to where your hands are and just really feel and be aware of and be present to sitting in the chair. And the point was that you've sat in a chair thousands and thousands and thousands of times, but each time you sit in the chair, it's a totally different experience. But you can never sit in a chair the same way you did before, because it's a new experience each time. So really anything we do, it's never being duplicated. Everything is a new experience because of the context within which it might be done, because of where I might be mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually at a particular moment in time. It's never the same as it was before. So everything is a new experience.
That gives us a lot of power because, in essence, we're creating that experience each time at every level.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Would you tell us where your books are available, and then I would like to take a call if you'd be willing to do that.
Sure.
Okay.
My books are available. They're on Amazon, so you can get them there. Just go to Amazon.com. You can Google my name, Jim Phillips, but the first thing you're going to get is this guy who's an incredibly talented artist that does skateboard art and like rock poster kind of art. He's really a cool artist, but it's just funny. His name is Jim Phillips, and he's got all this really cool stuff. But if you go into books on there and you just type in the key to life, then my name will show up, and then both of my books that are in there will show up. You can also go to my website, but I'm going to say that right now I'm revamping that portion of my website that has my books on it where you can purchase it. And I'm a little reluctant to say go to my website because I'm not sure that particular part is complete yet. But let's just say in the next week or so, anybody can go to my website at prosperitybydesign.com. You can see the books that are on there. I've got a bunch of articles. My blog is on there that has a lot of really good information that your listeners might be interested in as well. But right now, if you want to buy a copy of the book, I would just say go to Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com as well.
Now, if somebody wants to schedule a discovery coaching session with you, is it best for them to contact you via email or through the website?
Either way is fine. And actually, what I've started doing with my coaching, I've changed it around a little bit. As you know, it's now life coaching with LIFE, all caps, which is living in full expression. And I call my coaching sessions when I first meet with somebody a legacy session. And the reason I call it that is because the legacy that we leave is the life that we've lived. And the whole idea behind that is I want people to be conscious of the legacy they're leaving. Don't wait until after the fact and have people look back on your life and say, oh, he did, or he or she was this. You want to be the legacy as you're living your life, and you want to be doing it consciously. And then that's where we start creating all these incredible experiences that we can have. It's where we have the successes that I think we all deserve to have. But primarily, it's where we have the love, joy, peace, and happiness, the relationships that we want, and the freedom from fear, which is another big topic that we could talk for hours on. But it's really about that legacy. So they can schedule a legacy session with me by going to my website or just emailing me at jim@prosperitybydesign.com and just put in the subject line legacy session.
Great. Well, you have given me some fodder for a future interview. Next time I have you on the show, let's talk about freedom from fear. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay.
In fact, go to my blog on my website. I just did a blog post called The Deconstruction of Fear.
Okay. I will do that. Right now, I'm going to go to the switchboard, and I don't have names because these people called and after the show began. I have area code 770. I'm coming to you. And you're live on the air. What is your name, please?
My name is Maddie. I didn't put my hands up. I was just interested in the conversation.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for calling, Maddie. We appreciate your listening. And
a lot of enlightenment. Can I just continue to listen?
Oh, absolutely. Is there anything you'd like to say to Jim aside from a hello?
Enlightenment. It's just some things that is pretty much a lot of the things that I didn't get it all, but a lot of the things that he expressed was pretty much a reminder. It was a reminder that we are the ones that pretty much in control. We are the ones that are in control.
Right. Well, we need those reminders, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Maddie, this is Jim. Let me just make a comment about that because I think that's an extremely important point that you bring up. And I'll also say that the reason you were called on, because that was an important point to be brought up so everybody else could hear it. So I thank you for asking that question in that way. But one of the ways...
Thank you.
One,
yes.
one of the ways to look at what you were just talking about is you are the authority of your life. We don't even have to say you're responsible. You're the authority in your life. And any choice that is made in your life, you are the one that ultimately makes it. Now, we're influenced by other people. We're certainly influenced by society and perhaps circumstances we find ourselves under. But ultimately, you're going to be the one sitting down and saying, I'm going left or I'm going right, or yes or no, or whatever the case may be. And that's where the responsibility comes in. But you are, we all are, the ultimate authority in our lives. And we have to recognize that. And that's really our personal empowerment. Too often we subordinate it to other people or society's opinions or the opinions of the world. And that's just giving it away. And we have to have it and pull it back in where we're living and operating from that true sense of personal empowerment. Shakespeare said it, to thine self be true. And that's really what we're talking about.
Yes. Yes.
Is there anything else you would like Jim to address tonight, Maddie, while we've got you live?
Anything else I would like to him? How did he feel about karma?
Karma.
That's another show.
Definitely another show.
Go ahead, Jim.
I'm probably one of those rare people that really don't believe in karma. It to me, it's really just cause and effect. I don't believe if I do something bad in this lifetime, that I'm going to come back in the next lifetime and I'm going to be put in dire circumstances, because to me that would be God judging me, and I don't believe God is judgmental. If you believe in God or spirit or whatever you want to call that power or that entity. I don't believe that entity is sitting there going, okay, well, Jim was bad in this lifetime. He did these terrible things. So next lifetime, I'm going to really let him have it. I don't believe that happens. So I don't believe in karma that way. But I do believe that if I do something bad in this lifetime, the likelihood is I'm going to pay the consequences this lifetime. I'm going to get arrested. I'm going to go to jail. Whatever. I may get murdered. Whatever it is. I think it comes back to us in this lifetime. But I also think that as souls, I believe in the afterlife, I believe in reincarnation. But I believe that if I do something bad in this lifetime, as a soul, I may choose to come back and say, I want to see what the other side was like. I want to see how it felt to be on the other side of whatever this atrocious act was that I did. And so I may come and live that out to have the experience of it. But it's not because I'm being punished. It's because I'm expanding my experience of myself as a soul. And I think we do that all the time.
Uh-huh.
I like that, because that releases us from judgment. I had to reframe my whole concept of what God was many years ago to a God of unconditional love. And if God is love, and true love is without conditions, then I'm not going to be judged by God. There's going to be no hell except what I create for myself.
And we do
so,
a good job of that, don't we?
We sure do. But that brings us back to responsibility again and choice. We always have a choice. And what you're saying makes perfect sense to me, because then we get to choose what realities we want to experience. And if in some life review we go through it and say, well, that I could have done better, I may choose to come back and face a challenge again or do the flip side of it. Who knows how that works.
Right.
But I like what you're saying about karma, because we live in this world of duality where we judge things as good or bad, and ultimately it's all for the good.
And here's the other side of it. And we've been talking a lot about responsibility, and I think it's an important topic. If people believe in karma, and they look at their life, and let's say they live in poverty, for lack of a better, it's a good example. They live in poverty right now. Instead of trying to pull themselves out of poverty, they can say, "Well, I must have been bad in another life. This is just karma. This is just what life is offering me because of whatever reason." And it's too easy to fall back into that and use that as the reason for not taking responsibility and creating the life experiences that you truly want.
Right.
There's just so Yeah.
It negates free will. Well, Maddie, thank you for calling in. I remember you wanted a show on karma. I don't know if you caught one I did a few weeks ago where I did do that. But, Maddie, send me an email. I'm going to give you my email address, and I will let you know when I'm going to do another show on karma, okay?
Okay, let me get a pad, a pen, rather. Let me grab
you can
a pen
do that.
Okay, what is your email?
Take your time.
Okay.
Let me know when you're ready. And we do have one more caller we're going to go to after we finish speaking with Maddie. And I certainly appreciate your participation in this, even though you hadn't intended to talk to the guests for some reason. Sometimes, whether or not you push the one button, it brings you into the host queue, and I don't know what that's about.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh. I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to say this word, and then I'll spell it. Decoder. D-C-O-W-D-E-R.
Decoder. Okay.
At T-W-C-N-Y. .rr.com. That stands for Time Warner Central New York.
.rr.com.
Yep, you got it.
That's D C O W D E R at the P W C N Y dot R R dot com.
T as in Thomas.
Oh, T as in Thomas. Okay. T.
Yep.
Okay.
The rest of it's correct.
Okay.
So thank you for calling in again. Maddie has called in on shows before, and I appreciate your following me. And with that said, I'm going to wish you God bless and a good night.
Thank you. Same to you.
Okay,
bye.
Thanks. Okay, goodbye. All right, we're moving on to area code 404. You are live on the air. What is your name, please?
Is it me?
Yes.
Aaliyah.
Yes. What's your name?
Aaliyah.
Aaliyah. Hi, Aaliyah. How are you?
I'm doing good. I didn't know
good.
I was in the queue. I didn't push the one. I didn't know I was in the queue.
You don't have a question?
I do not, but I do have a comment.
Good.
This has been really an eye-opener. Just listening to you this evening, talking about especially being aware in the judgment aspect of our awareness, and it's always good when you're able to self-reflect, and that's what tonight's conversation is doing for me. It's allowing me to self-reflect, and like I said, this is a really good discussion.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I've been enjoying it immensely. And thank you for speaking up. I know it must have been awkward if you hadn't planned on talking to us. Maddie hadn't either. Is there anything that you would like to have Jim discuss in the closing moments?
No, everything you've discussed so far, Jim, has just hit on the spot. There isn't anything specifically that I would like to discuss or have you talk or touch on, just anything. Because like I said, to me, this conversation has been a very much self-enlightenment and self-reflection.
Well, if I can, you said something that I would like to address. And you said that it's always good to have self-reflection, to take that time to really look at ourselves and see where we are, maybe see where we are in relation to where we want to be or where we thought we might be at a particular point in our lives. And while that is tremendous for us to do that, the unfortunate thing is most of the time when we do that self-reflection, we get deep in judgment. We start judging ourselves about, I could have done this better, I should have done this better, why didn't I do this, why did this happen to me? And we get into that kind of negative self-talk and beating ourselves up over things that we can no longer do anything about. What we need to do when we're doing self-reflection is understand whatever decision was made, it was made at that time based on the circumstances and based under what I believe to be true about myself at that time. It has nothing to do with who I am right now. It was an experience that I had. honor and respect yourself for whatever you did during that time, and then honor and respect yourself for getting to where you are right now and recognizing that that experience is not the same kind of experience you want to have from this point forward. And then you make a change. You don't judge it. You use it as an example of what I don't want to experience anymore. It doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It doesn't mean anything other than that's where I was at that particular point in time. Today, here I am. I'm in this moment. This is who I am, and this is what I'm going to create and how I'm going to live my life.
I got you. Okay. That's good, because I was, because you are actually absolutely correct, because when I was self-reflecting, I did have some judgment on myself, on myself, where I felt like I could have maybe reacted differently, or maybe, you know, just my whole reaction could have been different. And mm-hmm. And you're right, at that time and in that place, you know, that's what I did. And in this time and in this place, if I had the same situation, I would react a little differently. But that's a good analysis of the situation, because that is kind of what I was doing in my self awareness and self reflection. So
Think about this for a second. Let's say that you're doing your self reflection and you're saying, if I had done this particular thing 5 years ago, it would have been a better experience for me. Well, I'm going to ask you, how do you know that? How do you know that that decision would have turned out the way you think it would when you think back on it? You have no idea. It actually could have put you in a much worse position than you think you're in now. And that's why judging it makes no sense, because we don't know.
Why?
Doesn't that bring us to a point where acceptance is an important key, that we need to accept that we are who we are because of our life experiences, our life decisions, and we're in a good place today, so therefore it's all been for our betterment. And that way there's no judgment attached to it. Not to say that we couldn't do something better if we had the same situation, because we may have made an error in judgment or we may have missed the mark at a previous time, but if we've learned from that, we can move on. But to me, it sounds to me like acceptance would be a key.
Absolutely. It is about acceptance, but also what you were just saying is, you were saying if we made an error. Well, you're making a judgment right there that what
you
did
you're right.
was an error.
Thank you.
The point is with that decision you made that you may look back on and say was an error may have been the perfect decision for you to learn the lesson that you needed to learn to be who you are today. So nothing's
touché.
Wrong.
Touché. I've heard it said that if is the longest word in the dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Here's one thing I'll say to all of this, too. And this is my belief, and I will guarantee you there's as many people that will disagree with me as there might be that would agree with me. I don't care who anybody is or what anybody does or what anybody has done. We all make it home. Nobody gets left behind, and we need to remember that. Nobody gets left behind.
Well, I think that's a wonderful note to end on. Jim, I do want to have you back again early next year. Would you be open to that?
Absolutely. Oh, I always enjoy it.
Great. Well, thank you so much, and thank you, Aaliyah, tonight. I really appreciate your presence. Aaliyah?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mentally.
Thank you. Blessings to you and your family. All right, my dear?
Thank you. Yours too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaliyah.
Okay, with that said, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.